right, here we go on a Monday. It is Cody and Gold. Alex Gold. Jay Binkley.
Oh.
Drew Nixon.
Hey.
I don't know if I need to talk any sports today. I have enough material, guys. I have enough material from Drew being gone for a week, a text I got last night from Cody, another text this morning I got from Drew. I've got so much material. I don't know if, like, we'll talk Royals. I don't know if I have to do that for a while. We got Chiefs training camp still going on. We're in studio today. We're back up in St. Joe Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. But let's start with the first and obvious thing. You heard me say Jay Binkley. Bink, you were in studio today. Thanks for filling in for Cody. We'll get the video stream up and running momentarily as well.
It's good to be here.
Yeah.
B-E here.
Yeah.
E-E.
Cody B. Tap is not here today. That's Cody B. Tap. His middle initial is B, and it's very fitting today. Got a text from him last night. You guys know, last week we discussed how Cody was mowing his yard, and all of a sudden, he thought rocks or something hitting his leg. And it turns out he ran over like a beehive or bee nest, whatever you want to call it. And he got stung in the leg a few times, which I'm sure did not feel great. And we've joked before, like, he's like, how do you guys not get stung by bees all the time? I'm like, never have. And then when we're up at camp.
You never have?
No.
Wow.
And then we have wasp at camp. And he killed a couple wasps. And so we've given him a hard time. Then I get a text last night. I think, Drew, it was our group chat, so I guess you got the text as well.
Yeah, I saw it.
And I'll read some of it. He said, hey, I don't know if you noticed, in the rundown we were working on the show, one of the things I mentioned, how it turns out the bees are not gone for good. And normally when somebody puts something like that in the rundown, we don't ask questions. We wait to find out on air together, so we get our natural reaction. He said, well, I treated a couple of times in the yard, and I went out to test to see if I got all the bees, which that's a whole nother conversation. He goes, I was wearing pants, a hoodie, and everything to make sure I was good. Then I was out there, and the bees decided to come out, and I started quickly running towards the house, only to have a bee fly in my mouth and eventually sting me on the lip twice.
Wow.
And at this point in time, he wasn't sure if he was going to be out or not. He's like, hey, there's a chance I'm not going to be here. I'm taking some Benadryl or whatever. I'll let you guys know. Bink is good to fill in just in case. I was like, awesome. No worries, man. That sucks. This morning we get a text that says, hey, yeah, I can't talk for 4 hours. I haven't seen a photo. I want to know how big is this lip at this point in time. I think he's got to get like a steroid shot. He'll hopefully be back tomorrow, and I'm sure fill us in more detail. But that's why Bink's in. Cody got stung by a bee again in the mouth. Was he running back to the house with his mouth
it's
open?
It's going to be tough. Why was he wearing pants and a hoodie, though?
Because he didn't want to get stung.
I know, but it's pretty damn hot for that.
I mean, this is why initially just pay the money and have somebody remove the bees.
This is a good excuse. This is a good reason.
Where sometimes
or text Ned Yost.
Like, yeah, like he's got somebody coming out today, I think, to eradicate the bees. Okay. If you just do this to begin with, then we're not having this conversation. Like, I know he thought he could do it on his own and he'd save a lot of money, I'm sure. And now he's got to do both. Now he got stung and he's got to pay money. So Cody B. Tap is not here today. Hopefully back tomorrow. I hope he's filled right, because I'm assuming very painful and miserable.
Well, I'm sure
to be dealing with.
Lip.
Oh yeah, awful.
I think Cody has to adopt your reason of thinking, Gold, for this is that any yard work that has he has to invest in any yard work from now on that has to be done.
I mean, I wish he had a ring camera in the backyard. Oh, I wish I had a video of him running back towards the house, and then this happening. He's going to have to explain to us the mouth part of it. Like, he said it went in his mouth and stung him. Or did it just
that's
land?
That's got to be the worst,
or did
though.
It
that's
just gonna, land
really,
on the,
seriously, that's got to suck.
Oh, I'm sure it's extremely painful. He probably can't talk very
that
much.
That sucks.
So, hopefully he's back tomorrow. But, Bink, I appreciate you filling in somewhat last minute to make sure that that we had this taken care of today. So, we'll talk about the bees. We'll check in. I'll send a text to Cody at some point in time. But I don't know. Like, do we think he just has a giant beehive underground his entire backyard?
I'm trying to picture how it. Yeah.
I can't believe you've never been stung.
No. Now, Drew, you should think you should be thankful that Cody got stung, because I was about ready to start the show with you, sir. Welcome back.
Thank you.
You look all tan.
Yeah.
The beach, it looked beautiful. How was the trip?
It was amazing. It was good. So part of me, as I was leaving on Friday, I felt like I was getting like like sick, like a little cold.
Uh-oh.
And I probably shouldn't have, but the trip total time in traveling from Indianapolis to Outer Banks, North Carolina was 16 hours after stopping at a bunch of college stadiums. That was
so
a lot of fun.
So you drove almost
it.
40 hours in this week, period, basically.
Yeah, total time probably about 40 hours.
Oh. But
it was good.
It looked gorgeous.
It was great. It was amazing.
All right. We know last time you went to Outer Banks, your family has like this timeshare or something, right? And you guys have a spot on the beach. And last year you were complaining.
An unofficial spot, yes.
Yeah. You were complaining. Yeah. It's a public beach. Okay.
It is.
It's a public beach. You were complaining because the spot you guys go and set up on, another family was there on the beach, which we said is ridiculous, Drew. It's a public beach. So did you guys get your spot?
Yeah, we were there on the right side. I almost texted you guys on Thursday because it got into my head as I was walking down. We are on the right side. This is great, you know? I almost texted, but I did not. Yeah, we were good.
Back up for a minute. You said you stopped at a bunch of stadiums.
He did.
On your way down. This is awesome. Now, how did you get away with this?
That's what I'm saying. I can't believe Bree let you do this.
Because
loving
they
family,
all, they
you know?
All let you do it.
Well, yeah, and I was the only one to get out of the car.
Right, shocker. It's awesome, though.
But yeah, it was a lot of fun. I stopped in Louisville, at Kentucky, at Marshall, in Charlottesville, at Virginia.
That's awesome.
And then on the way back, Old Dominion. And I was taking my brother back to the airport. So my brother and I got on. We walked around the stadium real quick, and we found
a
way to get
tour.
In.
So
what,
like an official tour? You went to see the stadium?
Oh, yeah. I went to see the stadium, and normally I walk around, see if there's a door that's open. There was in most places. There was a gate that was nestled, squeaked open a little bit, slid through there, and was able to get some pictures.
I did that at Alabama, Bryant Denny. I was down there for the SEC media days.
I'm surprised you got through, Bink.
All right. You know, with the Ramajamas there.
Trespassing on
no,
property,
they were
Bink.
Very welcoming, very nice. I was there for the
covering
the SEC,
good.
So like, hey, welcome.
It was very good. It was a needed vacation before the season. You
yeah,
know, it's
I
like
feel
a,
you.
You know, yeah.
No, I'm. I was jealous of the photos. It looked beautiful and everything. And we were going to have a nice conversation about you just being back, and that we're going to leave it at that. And as I said, there's a lot of things that have to be addressed. For starters, I got so many texts/tweets yesterday afternoon. I don't know what time it was. I don't know, maybe like noon or 1 o'clock yesterday, something like that. And everybody's saying, "Did you see Drew's tweet?" And I said, "No, I was actually."
Ironically enough,
Cody got stung by a bee. I was actually at my parents' house trimming their like some trees and stuff that they had. So I was outside in the yard yesterday quite a bit, and I came back in and I had all these notifications because I didn't have my phone with me. And I said, "Oh no, what did he?" I was like, "Oh no." I mean, I kind of had an idea because whenever that happens, it means Drew said something about Kansas City or the Chiefs or something Cincinnati related. And so I was like, "Oh no, oh no." And I said, we got to talk.
Oh, I was just passing through.
I said, we got to talk. You sent out a tweet
I was back in KC.
You got to explain the thought process behind this tweet. If you guys didn't see it, at Drew B. Nix is Drew's Twitter handle or X handle. He sends out a tweet unprompted. He's back from, I assume, a very nice vacation. Should be refreshed, relaxed, just feeling good. He sends out a tweet on 70, as in I-70, on 70, passing Burrowhead.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
It goes over real well here.
What's your logic behind this? For starters, since you've been our producer, Cincinnati has not beaten the Chiefs, okay? They haven't beaten the Chiefs since you've worked in Kansas City. 2022 was a long time ago, dude. It is August of 2025.
I know.
The Burrowhead thing was dead on arrival, essentially. And you're trying to bring it up? What are we doing?
That's the first time I've
They've
done...
They've been in the postseason in like 3 years.
It's been a little bit since I've done something that I knew darn well what I was doing. I just felt I was like, oh, you know, I'm passing through.
You just said, hey, I'm back in Kansas City.
That's right.
I might as well stir the pot.
Yeah.
I might as well, but it's not even, it didn't make any sense. The Burrowhead thing has been dead for years.
Well, I had to say something that I knew people would get.
That's how you announce your arrival back in town?
Yeah, just want.
Bink, did
I
you see this?
I saw.
Here's the one thing about it. Are you celebrating comeback player of the year, Joe Burrow? Because not only has he won it once, he's won it twice. Like, that's embarrassing. It's a 6-year plan, and he's already been comeback player of the year twice.
Yeah.
Seriously, Gold, that's kind of embarrassing because that means you missed the season before.
The tweet makes no sense.
And he's 2-time. Comeback player of the year, Burrowhead. Come on, man. I saw it too, Drew. I was
You haven't even stepped foot in that stadium that Cincinnati hasn't won in since 2022. Haven't even stepped foot.
I did.
The Chiefs have won Super Bowls since that game.
I did respond to a Bink text. Not a
plural,
Bink text.
By the way.
There was a tweet, Bink, that you had out. I don't know what it was. You were talking about the playoff wins. I don't even know if you saw this.
What?
It ended up being me and my friend going back and forth. You had tweeted something about Mahomes going, having 17 playoff wins or something along those lines.
Probably, yeah.
And I was like, Bink, don't worry. Burrow's better. It's okay. I don't know if you saw that or not.
I think I did, Drew, and I was wondering if you were drinking
you're
and stuff.
You're just ignoring me, you know? All right.
Well, no, okay. I wasn't. I took the picture of the beach. I asked you if that's Topeka.
Ask me that, which is, yes, peak Topeka. Think.
But no, the hot takes are out there, Drew, but the Burrowhead and the two-time comeback player of the year already watched the playoffs on the couch. Quarterback series is good,
Drew,
though. You like that?
He
has 9 replies and 0 likes.
You got Woo-hoo! 0 likes on that tweet.
Of course.
0 likes and just got destroyed and torched, and you should. Again, we were going to welcome you back with open arms, and you decided to start the football season on this note?
So
this
many spices, and you chose salt.
Yeah.
Thanks, Bank. Thank you for that.
I'm going to get that as a drop.
Thank you.
That's funny. No, I'm very happy to be back in Chiefs territory and be able to be here and celebrate the defending AFC champions and more recent Super Bowl winners than any other AFC franchise. You know,
AFC's on lockdown, man.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's great to be here. I saw a text that JT was going nuts over a Trash of the Day story as well.
Oh, we had a story last week for Trash
of the
Day.
JT was feeling some type of way.
Yeah, we appreciate JT for filling in last week.
Thank you again to JT.
While you were gone.
You saved Vern's ass for the night, too.
I know you were trying to poke the bear, but like,
yeah,
it's that was outdated material, and it doesn't make any sense. That's, I guess,
what other material am I supposed to use?
People are mad.
That's all I have.
Listeners are furious with you right now.
Yes,
the text line is going to be brutal to you for the rest of the week.
You have to know
where
you're at. Have some understanding where you're at. Like, it doesn't play here.
Well, no, Big. I know where I'm at. I desperately
no.
I can't wait until they play again. Which, who knows if that's going to be this year or not.
Your team has to make the playoffs first.
Correct.
Might play on Madden.
Correct. But no, I'm a pathetic loser. Full offense, according to the text line. Someone said I need to go to McDonald's already, you blonde goof. Hair's
That's
not blonde
right.
anymore.
Do,
I do need to go to
McDonald's.
You do
owe us a bet. You do owe us a bet. Yeah, his hair's not blonde anymore, but you do owe us a bet. All right, I'll stop the Drew.
Someone said we're not even mad. We're just disappointed.
There's other things. We're just getting started. We're 13 minutes in the show. I have something else to bring up at some point later on, Drew. Another question, critique, criticism, all of it, of what you tweeted while you were gone. And it's around the same category of the selfie while you were running from a few weeks ago. And I've got questions, but
beach
I don't want to spend the whole first half hour just talking to you about your trip. But I've got other questions.
And okay.
Besides the tweet that you sent out, that tweet at least. Yeah. Bank, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. There was another post.
The beach selfie?
No, it was not a selfie, but it was still questionable behavior, I would say. Questionable
what?
Behavior. So we'll get to that a little bit later on,
wow.
Drew. We're
it
just
was
getting
not
started.
Questionable.
I think so. You guys can hit us up on the Jay Southland. Tow Service text
not
line.
Not surprised by any of this.
913-586-7965. Video stream up and running as well. Make sure you check us out on YouTube. You can subscribe there. You could watch on Twitch. You could watch on Facebook, X, Twitter, whatever we're calling it as well. Appreciate you guys. Hope you had a phenomenal weekend. It was gorgeous in Kansas City. We're going to be back up at training camp. And when we are back up at training camp, don't forget our camp coverage is brought to you by Break Time, Missouri's homegrown convenience stores. Download their mobile app and find a location near you. But I do want to start with the Royals, Bank. A weekend up north in Toronto turns out to be a series win against the Blue Jays. That's 4 consecutive series wins. The Royals are 9-6 since the All-Star break. They're back to 500, 56-56 with 50 to go. 3.5 games back in the wild card race. And the reason why they're in this spot is since the All-Star break, this offense now is averaging over 5 runs. In fact, 5.5 runs per game post All-Star break. That's the difference. It was the obvious thing that we've been talking about all season. The offense, what would they do? You know, they already saw even a few of the trade deadline moves pay off already. I'm not saying that like we need to throw a parade, but it was great to see they acquired Yastrzemski in his first at bat. He hits a 2-run home run to help them win on Friday night.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting seeing Yaz going back to Boston. Speaking of Yaz, as the Royals go to Boston. No, it's been fun. They had a winning record in July. This team's been playing better. They've been hitting the ball over the fence. And look at yesterday. It was a game where the Royals were being no-hit. And typical Royals fashion, you know, May or June, they lose that game. They get like maybe one or two hits and lose the game, you know, 2-0. I mean, it's just the way it goes. But they came back. They scratched. They fought. They come back and they win the game. They're just feeling different. And I think the front office had a little bit to do with that, to be honest with you. I think it's more than a little bit. I think when they gave Lugo the extension, because Lugo was looked upon as the trade piece in Kansas City, that set everything in motion. Because you never forget Vinny and the players talking in Chicago when Lugo pitched against the Cubs. Like, well, we want to see him again. We want to see him again in a Royals uniform. You know, that's what they wanted to say. They saw him in Kansas City, but then they get that extension. But that just shows you the players were thinking about Lugo. Like, we don't want to lose this guy. Because you send the white flag. We talk about white flags, and I was talking about it. Because I felt that if they traded Lugo, as a white flag for this team, clearly. And it doesn't matter what I think or the fans think or anything. It's what are those guys in the clubhouse, the Bobby Witt Jr., Sal Perez, Vinny Pasquantino, those guys, what do they think? Then when he gets the extension, that sent a message. Like, hey, this team wants to win. And then all of a sudden, they're sitting on the tarmac there before they fly to Toronto, just to make sure that nobody's got to get off the plane that they were traded and or anything. And they made moves. And all of a sudden, you know, you check Twitter, whatever, and these guys all do it. They sit on that plane and you go, oh, the Royals made another move, another move, another move. That sent a message to that team that the organization was 100% for what they were doing. And that sends shockwaves to the team, man. When your organization's behind you and they're not selling everybody off like the Minnesota Twins, and you're looking around at an empty room and waiting for the AAA call-ups to fill out your team. No, they were adding pieces because the organization believed in them. And I think that goes a long way. And then look, Sal Perez, man. This guy's just, last 21 games, he's got 11 home runs. This guy's just killing it.
Yeah, I mean, he continues to defeat, you know, Father Time. And there was a stretch in May where it looked like maybe it finally got him. And obviously he's been sensational, and he is a huge reason why they're now averaging 5.5 runs post All-Star break, and why this team has worked their way back. I mean, to their credit, there's a lot of people I don't think believe they would get back to 500. You know, I've said that I think they're going to fluctuate between 3 under 500 and 3 above 500 the whole year, which means they're going to be in that convo. That's where I've been. But I think, understandably so, people are very skeptical would they get to 500. And I'm not sitting here today telling you now that they're going to make the playoffs now. But
they have put themselves,
though, where they're going to have a shot the rest of the way. And honestly, I know preseason expectations were make the playoffs, compete for the division. That doesn't change. That was always the expectation. But I give them credit, because it would have been very easy for this to go really, really south, and they haven't. And this is now going to be hopefully a fun 50 games that we got left in this season. 3.5 back, man. That's it. And the fact that the series win was against the Blue Jays, people can't push back and say, well, it was against the Oakland Athletics, Sacramento, whatever the hell they're called, Athletics. You know, you can't say, no, the Blue Jays were one of the best teams in baseball. Basically, it's what, Toronto, Detroit, and Milwaukee, I think, have the three best record, something like that, in baseball at this point in time. This was a really, really good Blue Jays team that you faced, and it started with Friday night. You beat up on them pretty good. You got a couple home runs from guys like Bobby and Yastrzemski, as I said, and then yesterday you win in extra innings and wrap up the series, and now you take on a Red Sox team that I think, if I would have told you they're playing them a few weeks ago, you would have said, oh, look out. The Red Sox are vulnerable. This is a Red Sox team that's in third in their own division now.
Well, no, the Red Sox a little bit better than that. They've won 8 of the last 10. They're only 3 games back at Toronto for first place.
When did that change?
Well, the Red Sox have gotten good. They've gotten hot.
The Yankees maybe are now third.
The Yankees are third.
Yeah, when did that change?
But the Red Sox are 8-2 in their last 10. Yeah. The Red Sox are red hot.
All right, that's my fault.
At this point. So this is a tough series. I mean, the Royals facing the Red Sox, again, just 3-game lead.
No, they're 2 up on the Yankees.
The Red Sox. Okay. But again, the Yankees are faltering. They get swept by the Marlins this weekend, but the Red Sox, you know, started turning things on as of late. So it's a really good series with Ken and Mike Yastrzemski going back to Fenway, you know, where Carl, you know, made his hay, grandfather back in the day. But, you know, the Royals are red hot, but it sends shockwaves. And Sal Perez, look at this, gold. His last 22 games, 11 home runs, 17 ribs, 28 hits, batting .346. This is why. It's summertime, Sal. They're getting this influx. Bobby, And then you got the new additions. You got Vinny always doing what Vinny's been doing, you know, and Kyle Isbell coming up with timely hits for this organization. And all of a sudden, you got, you know, 4 to 5 guys producing in this lineup. You're going to see 5, 6, 7 runs at times. Again, yesterday, when you look at that game, they typically just got rolled in games like that early this season, but this team just different mindset.
50 to go. I mean, we'll be having this conversation for the rest of the season, but what do you think they have to do to actually get into the postseason? I'm not talking about like, hey, hit more. I'm talking about like win total wise. They have to play still 8 to 10 games above 500 the rest of the way. Don't you agree? You're now
yeah, 100%.
You're now at 500. I mean, so the odds will tell you, by the way, they're plus 440 to make the playoffs right now at FanDuel. Well, and to not make the playoffs, they're minus 650.
It is a chance. There's the same chance as of last weekend that they had in 2014. It's about almost the same identical odds to make the postseason. Look at it this way. The Royals have, all right, so the third and fourth wildcard teams at this point, obviously just three make it. But Seattle, a 2-game lead on Texas because Seattle took care of business against the Rangers this weekend. But think about this. So the Royals have 4 against Texas in the next homestand. They already swept Texas in Texas. They still got 3 against the Mariners, all at Kauffman Stadium. So that's 7 games remaining against 2 of the teams ahead of the Royals. That's huge. Cleveland sits there just a half game ahead of the Royals. But do we have a lot of faith in Cleveland at all? I mean, they lose a starter and they lose Emmanuel Clase for the rest of the year. Well, they're at least gone until September at this point, but they've cleared their lockers out in everything in Cleveland. But that was a major blow with Clase to Cleveland. So I can't see Cleveland still hanging on. So really, it's watching Seattle and Texas, and there's your third wild card if the Royals can make that. Which, again, I'll remind people, winning the third wild card is okay. 2 years ago, the Rangers played the Diamondbacks in the World Series. Okay, Diamondbacks were the third wild card. Rangers were the second wild card and only 1 game removed from being the third wild card that year. Just get into the dance. But really, it's Seattle and Texas because the Yankees, I don't think the Yankees are going to continue to slide like this. But Seattle and Texas are the two teams Royals need to keep losing.
Seattle's a tricky one because they've been heavy at the deadline, too. That's
very heavy.
That's something we discussed last week a little
Suarez
bit.
Suarez and Naylor.
You go out and make the moves they made at the deadline. They're obviously all in. I thought the Royals, though, still, I think it continues to show itself.
And the Rangers based pitching off of staff.
Being 500, Bink, is the fact that they were smart with how they approached the deadline. They got some pieces. We're going to see in this Red Sox series a couple of the pieces that they traded for, talking about the pitchers that they brought in, whether it was from the Pirates or from the Padres organization. The implied odds, what it tells us percentage-wise, when you're plus 440 at FanDuel to make the playoffs, that means they're giving them an 18.5% chance to make the postseason right now as we sit on August 4th with this team 50 to go and sitting at 500. We'll talk some more Royals baseball, obviously, throughout the show, but a fun weekend, an important one, and now, you know, what we said for the road trip, you know, I said worst-case scenario, you got to go 4-5. You'll obviously want better than that. Well, the fact that you started off with a series win in Toronto, now you're expecting, you almost bump it up in what you're expecting, just because I think when you say 4-5, you're thinking you're going to lose the series against the Blue Jays. Now you're thinking, can you have a 6-3, 5-4 at worst? I think you got to make 5-4 as the worst case scenario.
Another great team, a red hot team in the Red Sox right now. It's big for the Royals, man. You always say the series get bigger and bigger. Well, this one actually gets bigger than the Blue Jays. Blue Jays was huge, but the Red Sox gets bigger when you consider where they're sitting.
Yeah, they're at the point with 50 to go where like every series is going to be massive. Now, you were listing off playoff teams that are in front of them.
And obviously, Texas and Seattle will be the biggest.
Yeah, and you were listing off teams that are in front of them in playoffs. But if you have a good road trip, you come back to Kauffman Stadium, and you get the Nationals, and you get the White Sox. And if you think they need to be 8 to 10 games above 500 the rest of the way to get one of the wild card spots, those are series you just have to have. Have to have them against the Nationals and White Sox, and you know, wouldn't hurt if you swept one of those as well. I mean, that's the point you're at. Like, they've worked their way all the way back to 500. They get credit for that, but there is still a ton of road to go and ground to make up because of the hole they dug themselves in, you know, the 3 months prior. And the fact that they're in it, though, is going to make it fun for everybody. We'll have Vern on later on this week. Next week, we'll check back in with the general manager of the Kansas City Royals.
It's good news for the Royals because usually when you hit training camp and you get the first Chiefs preseason game, that's where all the attention shifts to the Chiefs. But the Royals are, you know, keeping you occupied.
We will shift to the Chiefs a little bit, though. The unofficial first depth chart is out. Binks has it in front of him. I don't think it's all that big of a deal. But
had a copy for you right on your desk.
And I appreciate it. We're going to talk a little bit about that. And then something else that Matt Quatrero had mentioned with Salvador Perez and the plan the rest of the way? And is this actually the effective path for him to stay fresh? We'll get to that next. All right, we're just getting started here on a Monday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Jay Binkley, Drew Nixon with you. If you missed it, Drew is back from his vacation. Don't worry, we addressed his tweet from the weekend. We'll get back to that later. Bink is in for Cody, because Cody got stung by a bee in the mouth. I'm not even kidding. So his mouth is swollen, presumably, and hopefully he's back tomorrow. A lot of people think he got stung by hornets. I have no idea. Only Cody knows the answer to that. People are saying it was hornets, not bees. I have no idea.
They're bumblebees.
Last week, he ran over a nest of some sort.
Bumblebees.
And thought he got rid of them. He clearly did not. And had a very, very painful experience, I would imagine. And so we'll hopefully have Cody back tomorrow after that. And we'll let him share some more details about it. But unbelievable.
I still can't believe you haven't been stung.
Not from a...
The odds of that are crazy at your age.
Yeah.
You're not old, I haven't either. But I'm saying you're in your 30s. It's insane that both of you have been stung. Crazy.
In fairness, I'll say
everybody gets stung.
In fairness, on this one, he mowed the yard last week, ran over their nest, got stung in the leg. Okay, that happens. Then he thought he fixed it. He went back out there in long sleeves and a hoodie, knowing there was a chance he could get stung, and then realized... And like, I don't know if he kicked the ground or what, and they all came up and he ran towards the house and had his mouth open, I guess, and got stung. There's a lot of questions I have when he comes back.
He was yelling, probably yelling about the bees.
Maybe he's singing outside. I don't know. He was singing.
If you're singing, I think. If you're his neighbor, you're like, what the heck is happening outside right now?
So I want a photo.
Did
I want a photo of this thing. I have no idea. Well, these are all things we'll ask tomorrow, assuming he's back up in St. Joe with us. And hopefully feeling better, because I'm sure that thing
Drew,
hurts
you should
like
have gone
a,
over there
you know
and finished
what.
It for him.
Yeah, Drew said barefoot. Yeah, Drew bows barefoot, no. So it would work out really well. Yeah. You know.
That actually, no, you know what? You guys talking about it, and also that story alone, I might wear shoes from here on. Like, it's just going to be a thing.
You should be mowing with shoes anyway, dude.
I probably would, Drew.
You should not
because there's snakes.
You should not be mowing barefoot for a million reasons.
A lot of snakes around here, too.
Sharp blades, there's rocks, all kinds of things.
Bad idea.
Anyway, all right, let's talk some Chiefs football. As I said, we'll be in St. Joe again tomorrow. Bink, when I walked in today on my desk...
Yeah.
You had provided me a printed copy.
You're welcome.
Of the unofficial.
Oh, he had it ready when you walked in.
Yeah,
it
was sitting
Bink was looking at this for a half hour last night as it came out.
I don't know if Bink slept last night. For those that don't know, a lot of you know by now, if you're new to Kansas City, maybe you don't, but this is an unofficial depth chart. Literally, it's put together by the PR staff, okay? Andy Reid is not releasing this, okay? So let's just keep that in mind. But we can have some fun with it for a little bit. What stood out to you, number one, because you came in and you said, we got to talk about this.
It's probably put together by who they see doing reps.
Sure.
With the ones.
Of course.
Right? It goes to, they look at the tweets, everything. Matt McMullen probably part of this as well. I don't know that to be true, but we'll ask him at some point. Nothing really jumps out to me, Alex. Again, you can't go anything by week one. And before, the Chiefs even put out like a nickel depth chart, like this official depth chart towards the season, but none of it really stands out. What stands out is who's running with the ones. That's the important
thing. And we knew Josh Simmons has been running. We know Josh Simmons is going to be the left tackle for this team.
Especially
and I still,
the line.
And I still think Juwan Taylor at right tackle, he's listed as a first string right tackle. I know people are trying to act like there's a real camp battle, and I don't buy it, guys.
Well, he had that meniscus surgery. He admitted he toughed it through the season. Had injections for stem cell in late spring.
He had his knee drained every week of the season last year. He spoke about that over the weekend. But I'm just saying, like, we've been up at camp. We've seen it. And, Jalen Moore has gotten reps at right tackle. I feel like people have tried to create this idea that there's a real battle. There's a real battle here between Moore and Taylor. No, there's not. No, there is not. Not just because I have this unofficial depth chart thing. All right?
I printed that for you in color. In color!
I appreciate that, Bink. I have a digital copy pulled up. But, I don't thank you for the printed copy. I don't buy, and maybe you do, that there's an actual competition there. They know what they have in Juwan Taylor. The fact that he played last year while dealing with his knee needing to be drained every week actually makes you wonder, can we see a better year this year out of Juwan Taylor? Jalen Moore, they need to find out what he can do at right tackle. He's gotten reps at left guard as well. Juwan Taylor will be the starting right tackle week one of the season.
The one thing is that you have to see Jalen Moore. If he's going to be a guy that you can really rely on, I think they will. Like, if Jalen Moore doesn't start, which doesn't look like he's going to, they want to make sure. Andy Reid wants to be able to say, okay, put you at right tackle if he has to. Put you at left tackle if he has to do left tackle, because that could be a situation he needs. Or left guard. Jalen Moore went to Western Michigan as a tight end. So it shows how versatile the dude is, because obviously he can get out and move in space and everything else. Being a tight end, they saw him, put more weight on him, said, hey, you're a left tackle. And that's what he's been to this point. But he could play the right side, the left side, left guard. But Andy Reid wants that guy. It's just like Caliendo can play all over. He loves guys that can be guards and play center as well. Andy Reid loves versatility. It's all the Chiefs have become, is a versatile team with their defensive backs, defensive linemen playing interior.
You got to have it.
Or on the edge.
At this point.
But he looks at that with the offensive line. The defense the same way as the offensive line. Guys been able to do different positions. But he wants to make sure, because if anybody goes down, it's Jalen Moore going in. I mean, the bottom line, left guard, right tackle, left tackle, that's going to be that one guy. That's an incredibly important position.
Yeah.
Jalen Moore would be to have that versatility to do all those different things.
You're not making it through a 17, really, in the Chiefs' case, you know, 20-plus game schedule with the exact same offensive line every week. There's just somebody, I'm not saying they're going to be out for the season, but somebody's going to miss a game or somebody's going to get hurt in the second quarter and have to sit out a series. Like, that will happen. It's the National Football League. And so I'm with you. It's great sign Jalen Moore can play all these spots, but I just don't buy the camp battle. To me, we know the left tackle and we know the right tackle here on August 4th. Barring an injury happening during camp to one of those guys, we know what the offensive line is going to be for the most part. Maybe you want to argue about left guard and you think there's a chance it's Caliendo, not Kingsley. I guess that's the one spot I will still put a question mark next to. Otherwise, I think we know who it is.
There's a couple of things that it makes me excited, I think, actually, to watch the game coming up this weekend because of where certain people sit. But Jalen Royals being behind Tyquan Thornton and Juju, I think, is interesting when looking at the wide receiver two spot essentially on the list.
Now, this is 100% a PR.
But, Felix also being behind Ashton Gelati. We know that we saw the video with Ashton getting into that scuffle with Josh Simmons, but it makes me, I'm intrigued to see more maybe the wide receiver room than anything else, just because of Gardner Minshew being in. You're going to get a guy that's been a starter in the league, Bailey Zappi below him. But here's Jalen Royals and Thornton and, you know, Elijah Badger, who has been one of the camp darling-ish talked about players, or Nico. Like, I'm excited to see what they can do with Gardner Minshew. It's not like they got, you know, Oladukun throwing them the ball in the second team reps. Like, Gardner Minshew is better than Carson Wentz, I would say. In terms of what he's been able to bring to the table over the course of his entire career. So I'm intrigued by that. Also, Jaden Hicks, I don't know if you guys are surprised by Jaden Hicks being below Brian Cook on this, but I think a lot of it, I think we all believe that Jaden Hicks can be that guy. And I don't know if he just hasn't, again, it's just the
Gotta take this thing with complete grain of salt. Because this is,
do we see him start week one, or is this something that maybe they're just going to wait and see how he plays?
Well, the bottom line is the Chiefs do so much rotation, so much rotational basis. Even drafted Omar Norman Lott, who was in a pure rotation at Tennessee. Never even started, but he maximized his performance. Jaden Hicks led him in interceptions last year. Jaden Hicks will get a lot of playing time. It'll be in rotation. Do I think they'll rotate the safeties a lot? Yeah, 100% I think they will.
Right, and then as far as like the wide receiver thing, Drew, I'm definitely with you on
matters.
I think we all want to see Jalen Royals during preseason. We all want to see, I mean, I think a couple things we know heading into the season, I would say even from the day they were drafted, like, Juju Smith-Schuster is going to be higher on the depth chart.
Agreed.
Than Jalen Royals. I mean, that was always going to be the case. Juju Smith-Schuster, someone they trust. They feel like they know what they have. He's going to, especially depending on the health of Hollywood Brown, he's going to be a top four receiver on this team heading in to the season. I don't know, long term we'll see, but Jalen Royals, his quote unquote competition, or at least, you know, the exact comp to him or what he's comp to would be Juju, would be Rice in terms of that type of receiver. That's where he would fill in if somebody, one of those guys, got hurt. If Hollywood Brown has to miss time, we're going to talk more about him later. Jalen Royals to me would not be the guy that like automatically just sees an increase. You know, he would see an increase. Tyquan Thornton, your guy. That's who would see an increase. A guy that can stretch the field a little bit. If Rasheed Rice is suspended.
Is he still alive in the Camp Island?
You missed it.
Tyquan?
Camp Darling, because we wanted to give him a chance for some preseason, we only eliminated, I think, one player last week, maybe two. So right now, Camp Darling Island, Jared Wiley's been eliminated.
Okay.
Brandon Stuhl, who hasn't practiced in seven practices, I think, has been eliminated.
Okay.
Jaquarius Spivey,
yeah.
And then Elijah Mitchell.
Okay.
That's who's been eliminated right now. Tomorrow we'll have an elimination day, and then we will not eliminate anybody else until after the first preseason game.
Tyquan Thornton's getting a lot of run. Matter of fact,
he's going to make the team.
He will be. You saw a lot of. I've always thought Tyquan is going to make the team. He's going to be a gunner for the special teams as well. So you know he'll probably make this team. And that speed is elite. Jalen Royals. Andy Reid talked about him after minicamp and how that he was happy about the wide receiver group as a whole because they actually know the formations because it's the same group coming back. Something he hadn't really dealt with in the past as much. But he talked specifically about Jalen Royals and how he kind of knows the offense and how smart he is and, getting acclimated to this. But I think you'll see a healthy dose of Jalen Royals from time to time, to be honest with you.
So we know that the way that the Chiefs kind of do things, and how they handle reps and first team reps and all that, how much they actually play. I think we always can get more excited for the guys. That's what preseason is and training camp is. It's the battles for like the second spot on the depth chart or the third spot, but Noah Williams also, I think there's more intrigue around the, once the first unit is out, being able to really see what those guys can do in a game situation.
Yeah, I don't want to see Travis Kelce during a preseason game. I mean,
you don't need to see Mahomes.
I don't need to see Mahomes. Mahomes will play, but I don't need to see those guys. Of course, it's about they're rookies. It's about some of these second year guys. I think we all want to see Breshad Smith. We all want to see even Elijah Mitchell a little bit just to see what they have there. I think Josh Simmons still, even though practice has been great for him and he's going to be the starting left tackle, I think we all want to see Josh Simmons play a little bit. I don't know how much he'll play during the preseason game. What do you make of him? We know Bink, people are asking me, how do you feel about him now?
They announced Josh Simmons, offensive tackle from Ohio State.
I hate this pick, actually. Don't like it. Don't like it.
My favorite. It's my favorite guy we have in the system.
I've explained this before, and the whole mindset then was, the Chiefs, because they used a second-round pick on Kingsley the year before to be your left tackle.
Yeah.
And there was thought, and even you were on this thought train,
that he would not be
ready
for
game one.
But I didn't hate the pick. I didn't hate the pick.
But that was the thing for the Chiefs.
Don't like it.
That was the thing for the Chiefs. Will he be ready on game one?
Right.
And the rest of the NFL didn't think so. This is why I specifically told Fesco and Dusty last week when I go on Wednesday, the Chiefs training staff needs to get a lot of accolades here.
Agreed.
Because we talk about Mahomes being great and Reed and Veach. Put the training staff up there as well. They took a shot on a sixth-round pick in Trey Smith, who probably was going to go in the second round, if not for the medicals and the blood clots that he had. But the Chiefs typically didn't reach on guys that had health concerns. They just haven't done it in their history. But they did with Trey Smith, and he's gone from sixth-round pick to the highest-paid guard in the National Football League. If Josh Simmons works out, I said my favorite Veach move, I think his best move he's made as GM, was getting Harrison Butker off the Panthers practice squad to be the kicker that he was. Cairo gets hurt. He grabbed Gano as the starter. He got moved to the practice squad, Butker did. But because he did all that, scouting and everything and at the combine and everything, Dave Tobe and Brett Veach liked Harrison Butker. He gets put on the practice squad for the Panthers. Cairo Santos gets hurt. He brings in Harrison Butker's. The rest is history. 3 Super Bowl rings, and he's made clutch kicks. To me, that was his best move that he made. If Simmons pans out, that goes to number one. And a lot of it's due to the training staff. They brought Josh Simmons in for top 30 visit.
Yeah.
They saw the medicals. They get to see the guy firsthand, what he can do, what he can't do. And I think he surprised even them that he was that ready for training camp.
That looks like a massive win. And we're just talking about his availability. I over the weekend, someone was going back and forth on social media with, they were saying we don't know if it's a win yet. No, we know it's a win already because he's practicing and he's going to be the starting left tackle. I'm not telling you we know if he's going to be Trent Williams. I'm not telling you if we know he's going to be a future all pro. We don't know the answer to that yet. We're going to find out over this year and multiple years.
Well, here's the good thing.
But the reason
him,
why it's already a win is, to your point, Big, they trusted their medical staff. Their medical staff 100%. Was correct. No matter what type of career he has in terms of, is he an all pro or not? They were correct.
They were right.
Because other teams did not think he'd be available. You're right. My concern was injury as well. But I didn't hate the pick. I just didn't think he'd be ready.
I'm
giving you a hard time, obviously.
No,
it's just a funny drop
but
we have in the system because you were disgusted with the pick at
the time. Well, people thought Will Campbell was the best tackle, right? Patriots grab him. What, pick 4? Will Campbell. He was better than Will Campbell. He was better than Kelvin Banks. Armon Membu is not a left tackle. He's a right tackle or a guard. So you look at who went in that draft. Josh Simmons, a healthy Josh Simmons would have gone ahead of all those guys.
Yeah, we had Rappaport on last week. He said he would have been he thinks the first tackle off the board.
But he got hurt in the Oregon game, so he didn't play in the playoffs for Ohio State. Didn't play the national title game. Got hurt in that Oregon game back in October. So the big question was he going to be ready to go? Because the Chiefs had to have a left tackle. And I go understand they went out and they grabbed Jalen Moore and all that. That's fine. But here's the one thing about Simmons, though. It's awesome. He hasn't missed any time. Like you would think, because look at Jake Brenningstuhl, by the way. He's missed 7 games. Hollywood Brown's now missed 4 straight practices. Josh Simmons hasn't missed 1 rep or 1 practice.
That's why I'm not worried about the health anymore.
I mean, that shows a ton of what this guy's made of, that he hasn't missed 1 single day. I mean, they could have taken it easy on him or something. Hey, take the day off. You're coming off this patellar tendon injury. But they haven't done it. And he showed up every single day. He stayed in Kansas City. He didn't go back to San Diego, kind of where he's from, because he originally played at San Diego State. He's from that area. He didn't go back. He stayed in Kansas City to rehab the whole time. He deserves a lot of credit for where he's at.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the health anymore. Now it's just communication. Does he pick everything up properly? Does he know basically where he's supposed to be, what protection he's supposed to
have? Second most important position.
Yeah, and it could be a game changer for the Chiefs here. You know, locally we're all talking about. Nationally, you're starting to hear more noise around it. There's a chance it ends up being one of the bigger stories of the entire
season.
Especially
if Kingsley works out of guard, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the second round pick that you had that was going to be tackled. Now he's your guard. That's your left side of your line with Kingsley and Simmons. That's the last 2 years in the draft. The Chiefs drafted extremely high on both of them. And if they both pan out, that's perfect, because that's the second most important position for Mahomes.
Right, and it's different than last year. I know people will immediately say, well, we were excited about Kingsley last year. Kingsley, everybody knew he was raw and needed to be developed, and clearly the evaluation was incorrect on him. The question with Simmons has never been about ability. It was always health, and now I think health is actually in the rearview mirror. So let's go. Let's be excited about Josh Simmons.
The fact is, one day of practice is freaking huge.
We'll get back into the Chiefs in just a little bit. But the Royals, while we started the show talking about getting back to 500, they're going to do something the rest of the way because of the Freddie Freeman trade that I think is interesting. I wondered at the time, we talked about on the show when they traded Freddie Freeman, hey, what do they do with catcher? Are they going to call up Carter Jensen? Luke Maley, is he going to play more? And I said, are they going to put Salvador Perez just behind catcher more? Is that the plan? And Matt Quatrero basically over the weekend said, yeah, their plan is to play Salvi even more behind the dish. Do you believe that is just, hey, yeah, out of necessity, you have to do that? Or is that concerning to you about his offensive production the rest of the way? Because he's been great, but he's also been fresh. If he's behind the dish every day and not getting to DH as much because of Freddie Freeman not being there, does that hurt his offense? Does that become a problem for you?
Well, it's always been a concern when you have guys that typically when you can play them a DH or whatever, get them off their feet a little bit on defense. But then there's some guys that have to play defense or they're not going to be as productive. You know, Moose was kind of like that guy. If he's not playing third base, you know, he's better when he's in the field playing a position when he hits the plate as well. So
35-year-old catcher now.
It's concerning getting as many reps behind the plate, but Luke Maley, you know, coming in having a veteran bear, kind of like Butera did. You know, people forget Butera actually caught the final out in the World Series. It wasn't Sal because he came in, you know, as a defensive replacement for him to kind of keep Sal fresh at that point and run. So it was actually Butera that caught it. I have no problem in that. Would I like to see Carter Jensen? 100%. I mean, being a local, people are going to love Carter Jensen, but I don't want to rush situations. And I kind of just go with the guys you have at this point. Do I want to see Carter Jensen? Yeah. Should he be on this roster next year? 100%.
Oh, well, next year during spring training, he's going to be one of the big storylines.
But I think they're going to ride it with some.
Yeah, well, yeah, clearly he's going to be in the lineup every day. I'm just saying if they're going to have him behind the dish every day or every day but Sunday, let's say, or however they want to do it, that's more than what he's been doing. They already had cut back. I think it's a big reason why he's been able to be as effective still at the plate. That would be my only concern. Now, look, Carter Jensen in September could still get called up, I guess.
When they expand the 28.
Even though the roster is not the same as what it used to be. You don't call up 10 guys like you used to.
You get
two. Yeah, it's not the same as what it used to be in the setup there, but I think it's just something to keep an eye on. Salvador Perez has been phenomenal since May, really since June 1st, I guess. And I think some of that is not only just, hey, he's hopefully a future Hall of Famer, but they've kept him fresh. They've done a good job keeping him available because of not catching, and Freddie Freeman's allowed them to do that. Clearly, as much as they like Luke Maley, clearly not to the same extent because they're not willing to let him be on behind the dish.
Well,
as
the pitching staff relies on Sal so much. I mean, right. That's why they're number 2 in all of baseball with ERA because they rely on Sal Perez.
No, I think that's the case. Now, thinking of the Royals, you brought something to my attention that happened on Friday night. So Friday night, I was at a restaurant watching the game with some people. You were listening to post game. It sounds like driving home, or I don't know if you're just at home listening on the Odyssey app, Bink. Vern's postgame show after the Royals.
Exciting game, the Royals offense. Yeah. That game Friday night was awesome, man. They go out and play like so.
Had some pop.
What did Vern have to say? I wanted to hear Vern.
Yeah, had some pop. And if you were listening to the broadcast, you know that the entire broadcast crew was not there in Toronto due to some other family obligations. Steve Stewart's son was getting married, right?
Yeah, he was getting married. So I wanted to hear what Vern had to say about the whole situation. And I was thrown off guard a little bit, to be quite honest. Well, here's how it sounded, if you didn't hear it.
So I want to give kudos, and please let them know how much I appreciate their calling the games.
Will do. Penny, thank you very much for the phone call. Jake Eisenberg on the call tonight, along with Sean Mernon, the voice of the AA Northwest Arkansas Naturals. He's filling in for Steve Stewart, who is attending his son's funeral. So congratulations to Stu and family. Congratulations to Sean Mernon for once again finding himself in the big league booth. And yeah, Jake Eisenberg's as good as you're going to find. Yeah, baseball and...
Just rolled right on, man. Congratulations on the funeral.
No, Vern.
Oh, Vern. You know, and then there was a commercial break that kind of saved him, but Vern did apologize.
No question. That's all I got to say, Vern.
Well, Calvin, I appreciate the phone call. Oh, did I say that? Excuse me. I meant wedding. Oh, my God. Thank you very much, JT. I said Stu's attending his son's funeral. Oh, my God. I apologize. I'm sorry. I don't know why that happened. No, it's a wedding. That's why I said congratulations.
It's very close, though.
JT, thanks for listening. Back there at the studio, well, I feel terrible. And I'll think about this for the rest of the night. No. Stu is away attending his son's wedding. Good Lord, Vernier. I apologize for that. Well, JT Noah, you might be the guaranteed foods.
Oh man, it's so good!
Shout out to JT for catching it.
Wow! Shout out to Vern, because that's
congratulations afterward. No, I did not. I meant to say wedding. Will do, Penny. Thank you very much for the phone. Text line is open for you. I'm sure that's a mess right now. Going, Vern, what are you talking about, brother? Text line's always open.
Oh my goodness!
He said that. I was like,
you caught it live.
Yeah, I caught it live, man.
Sean Mernon, the voice of the AA Northwest Arkansas Naturals. He's filling in for Steve Stewart, who is attending his son's funeral. So congratulations.
It's okay. I heard that. I was like, he didn't say that. So I rewound it. I was like, there's no way he just said that.
Oh, man. Vern's on our show Wednesday.
But in his defense, weddings are like funerals a lot.
Damn. You've had a few of them.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying. I mean, it's, I understand. Vern probably didn't want to say that, but he's kind of in the moment. They had a hell of a game.
You've had a few of them. That's
he was congratulating Steve Stewart.
Man,
oh, it's so good. Like I'm sorry. Like I can't. I've heard this 8 times today, and I can't stop laughing about it. It's good. It's so good.
I love it when he comes back and apologizes. Oh my gosh, Vern! I can't.
Well, he probably. Do you know the guys had him on this morning, and it wasn't mentioned to him. I'm assuming Vern probably thinks he's clear.
Yeah,
no, he's not.
He's free and clear.
He's not.
Bink was blowing up his phone right away. All right, up next, let's talk more about Hollywood Brown and his availability. Plus, you guys know I was excited for something baseball was doing over the weekend. Well, how did it turn out? It might have been Firefest 2.0, according to some.